Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Nun Aleph. We begin on Onam Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learn in the Mishnah, Hemseis or Beis HaKaiseis, these two stomach sections that got a hole, renders the animal a treifa. Now, the Beis HaKaiseis really has a double layer. It's comprised of two layers of skin, in which case it's only a treifa if the hole goes through both layers. Tanur Rabbanan, machat shenimtzeis bo'ovi Beis HaKaiseis, you open the animal, you discover a needle inserted into the actual wall of the Beis HaKaiseis. But it's only mitat echad on one side, only went through one layer, the inner layer, let's say. It's ksheira, it's still okay. But if it goes through both layers, mishnei tzadim, on both sides, it's a treifa. That's one point. Next question. Fine, you see it's a full hole. But when did it happen? Before shechita? During the animal's lifetime, which makes it a treifa? Perhaps it happened after shechita? How do you know? How do you tell? Very simple. There's blood there. Then you know what happened during the animal's lifetime, which caused it to bleed. Nimtza le'a kura dam, you find a little granule of blood, a little spot on that location, on the needle, whatever. Then you know for sure, biyadua, we know, we turn to the next page, biyadua, then it's confirmed shel'shmei shechita, that this injury occurred before shechita, and the animal's a treifa. But lo'i nimtza ole akar adam, there's no blood there. You know why? Because it happened after shechita. And no harm was done. Biyadua shel'ach shechita. Next question. Who's responsible? Can the butcher demand a refund from the farmer? Well, I expected a perfectly healthy animal. Why'd you give me an animal that's a treifa? Megachto, it's a mistaken transaction. So he certainly confirmed that it happened before shechita, but maybe it happened just 2 days ago, after which purchase was purchased from the farmer. Right? So, suppose, 3 days to the Shechita, he shechted on Wednesday, he bought the animal on Sunday, paid him, shechted on Wednesday, discovered a hole in the Beis HaKaiseis, he wants his money back. So how would we know when it happened? There's a way to know. Higlit piyamaka. If the opening of the wound started healing, started scabbing, instead of congealing, right? So once it develops this proper scab, you know the wound must be at least 3 days old. Higli piyamaka, you find a scab on the maka, then you know what happened at least 3 days ago. So he gets his refund. Yadua shoshleshi yom kodem shechita, you know the hole. The injury occurred 3 days before shechita. So if you purchased it, less than 3 days to the shechita, he knows he gets his money back because it was an injured animal when he bought it. Lo higle pli amak. But if the amak hadn't yet healed, then it's hard to know when in fact it occurred. Ha moitzi mechaveiro. This is a general rule. When one wants to extract money from his friend, you have to prove your case. All of our right, he has to prove his case. In this case, he can't. He doesn't know exactly when it happened. So again, if it's scabbed, then you know for sure it's an old wound. It preceded the shechita by at least 3 days, and if he purchased it within those 3 days, he is entitled to his money back. Otherwise, stalemate. Okay, so that's the price. Ask the Gemara. Here we say that unless there's a droplet of blood on it, you can just assume what happened after shechita. Right? There were three things that we learned. First of all, the hole has to go through both layers. You have to find some blood. And then we had discussed the chayshe mishpat question of refund entitlement. Regarding the second halacha, it's only an issue if you discover some blood. Why? Why is this different than every other hole discussed everywhere else in the perek? Even when there's no presence of blood, tarif mar, we consider it a treifa. We don't assume what happened after shechita. We say a hole is a hole. And here we're insisting on finding a drop of blood to prove that in fact it happened during its lifetime. Says the Gemara, you know why? Hasam lekamidil misrach, in a typical hole, there's no needle, there's nothing there for the blood to tack onto. So the absence of blood doesn't really tell us anything. And we assume that the hole was there all along, unless you can prove otherwise. That it developed during its lifetime. So sure, there's some bleeding, but Rashi says it gets absorbed in the system, it just, you know, rolls away. Huh? Here, when you found a needle, given the market, since you have a needle, he said the kaidim shchita, who, if in fact it happened before shchita, and the animal bled, you'd find some trace of blood on that needle. Misrach have a sarach, there would be some blood on the needle. And the absence of blood tells us that it happened after shchita. Amli Rav Safa Abaye. The Safa told Abaye, look, there was a visitor here from Eretz Yisrael. Chazimar, did you see? Go take a look at this man. Check him out. Haytub Marabon, this young Chacham, the Asmaro, came from Eretz Yisrael, a visitor. V'amar, he tells us that his name is Rav Avira. Rav Avira Shemeni, that's my name. V'amar, he related a story that he experienced. Masa Balafnei Rebbe, there was a story that came to Rebbe. A shayla was presented to Rebbe regarding a machat, Shinimsis by Beis HaKoseis, that was presented with a needle in its wall, mitzad echad, and it only appeared to be on one side, meaning only going through one layer, v'tarfa. And Rebbe ruled it to be a treifa. Surprise, surprise, even though it's only going through one, shalach leis, Abaye sent for him, las l'gabe, he refused to come. Farshim explained, because he felt, since he's representing Rebbe, Rabbi Dan Nasi, the leader in Israel, he felt it's unbecoming for him to go, you know, his visitors should come to him due to his him being an emissary, you know, representative of Rebbe HaKadosh. In any case, he refused to come. Azal Hugabes, Abaye said, okay, I'm going to go to him. And he went to his place and he found him, Abakoya Igro. He was up in the second floor, and you know, standing on the roof or whatever. Amar Nechos Mar Venesis. He says, please come down, we'll have a discussion. Lenochas. He didn't come down. Okay. He doesn't come to me, I'll go to him. Salakul Gabes, Abaye traveled up there. Amrleis, he says to this visitor, he says, could you please tell me what happened? Emily, please tell me, goofed over the actual story, tell me the core facts. Hechi Hava, what exactly happened with that shayla, with the needle? Amrleis, he says, I'll tell you. Look, first of all, let me introduce myself. Maftir Knesias Anna. I administer the yeshiva, arrange for the Talmidim to come, to go. Le'elam Rebbe, the yeshiva in front of, you know, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, I'm in charge. Le'elam Rebbe Rabba, Rebbe Rabba, the great Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi. And what happened? V'hava Rafuna Tzipura. So he was sitting there. Rebbe Yisim Mado, him also. Yoishim Lefan, I'm sitting in front of Rebbe. V'bas Lefan, Rebbe Machat. Shenim Tzis, Bavi Beis HaKoyzis. And the following Shiloh was brought to Rebbe, a Machat embedded in the wall of Beis HaKoyis, Mitzad Echad, only on one side, on the inner, through the inner layer. And Rebbe did not just allow it, V'havcha Rebbe, Rebbe turned it inside out, he was like checking the outside as well, and he discovered a little droplet of blood, a trace of blood, indication of a wound through and through, Amatzu Rebbe Koyret Dam, V'tarfos, he considered it a treifa, because there was a hole all the way through both layers. V'amar, he explained himself, Ein Shamakav, there's no wound going through, why is there blood on the outside? That's all, simple as that. No great shakes. It was a plain hole through and through, and it's a treif. For this, I had to come here. Tarech tarye lo gavra. This man had to trouble himself to come all the way here for that. That's a simple Mishnah. Mas nisen hemsis. Ubez hakoises. Shenik v'lechutz. There's a hole through both layers. It's a treif. Simple as that. Continues the Gemara. So you have an animal that fell off the roof, fell off from a high place. That is a type of treifa, even though there's no visible damage. Rashi explains because it's based on Lochemesh Mesinai that once the animal experiences this type of trauma, you know, it disrupts its whole skeleton, its whole arrangement, and it's considered a treifa. Amar Rav Huna, hiniach behem lamala, ubal matzel lamata. This type of treifa applies only in a very specific scenario. Let's say, he finds, he left the behemoth on the high ground, on the roof, and he comes back and it's on the bottom. Ein chayshishin mishum risuki yavarim. There's no concern that his bones crushed. Why? Rashi explains. We didn't see him fall down. We didn't see him accidentally fall. Right? So we'll assume that he jumped off, that he somehow made his way down safely. Right? How God, there's a story of a goat, the Havali Ravina. Ravina had this goat, the Chaza Chushla Bi Puma. So he was up on the roof, and there was a puma. A puma is like a skylight, open window on the roof. And he notices, the animal notices Chushla peeled barley on the bottom. Dagar, so he jumped off the roof through the thing. Nafal, Migalari fell from the off the roof down to the ground. And there was a question regarding its status. Did it break any bones? Did it become a treifa? Asul came to Rav Ashi. Said he brought to Rav Ashi to Paskin. Amar Lei, so he says like this. So Ravina presented his deliberation. He says like this, his dilemma. How do Rav Huna? We all know Rav Huna's halacha, right? Heneach b'heim alamala, b'al matzah malamato, ein choshim shim suki yivorim, you left the b'heim on top, came back, it's on the floor, there's no concern. Why? Is it because mishum de isla midi l'misra, because the animal has what to latch onto, had to, you know, had to slow his fall, to cushion his jump. So we assume he did that to keep himself. But in this case, where the animal came right through the middle of the roof, there's nothing to latch onto. There's no support on the sides. So in this case, we have to be concerned about that. You know, the hard fall, when it may have hurt him and damaged him. Or perhaps the reason why we're not concerned when an animal jumps off the roof is because an animal has an innate intuition of how much he can handle. And he wouldn't endanger himself. Right? So if he jumped off, because he can do it safely. Behind Nami here as well, even though it was a pretty, pretty grand jump. Amdanavsha. The animal knew what he can do, and he did it safely. Amar Leis, he says, yeah, exactly right. Mishum da Amdanavsha. The concern is only when he was thrown off or whatever, but if he did it willingly, we assume that he paced himself and he spaced himself. Vayinami Amdanavsha here as well. He did that, and he accomplished it safely. Hayi Imrasa, there was a story of a sheep, Dahava Bei Rav Chaviva. In Rav Chaviva's home, Dahavu Shadron, they noticed something really unusual. Dahavu Shadron Kare, his back legs were like dragging, Basraisa, his back legs were dragging. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu, Rav Yirmiyahu says, no problem, Hashagruna Nakti, he's experiencing some illness. It isn't an indication that there's some injury, you know, to the spinal cord, no issue of treif. Maskala Ravina, I have a question. V'dumachot Hashadrib Ifsik, maybe its spinal cord got snapped, and that's why he's not supporting his back. So in fact, after the shechita, they examined it, but kua, and they discovered a damage to a spinal cord, as Ravina had proposed. And still, despite this discovery, the halacha follows Rav Yemar, that typically we're not concerned. Why shikruna, this type of illness, this type of condition, shechiach is more common, and it can be attributed to that. Chuda shidra, snapshot, shidra, le shechiach is not something common, we don't have to worry about it. Amar Huna. Another situation which does not present concern is Zacharim HaMenachem Zezeh, the rams that are sort of banging against each other and goring each other, playing and fighting. We're not concerned about, you know, crushed bones. Even though they're mourning after that traumatic, you know, fight, they're not just gripped by this fever or illness, but it's not deemed life-threatening. But enough ala'ara. But if you see that they sort of got tossed on the ground during this confrontation, they certainly Hashem were concerned about injury. Amar Nashi, hani dichri de ganvi. What about the sheep that are stolen by the ganavim? And Rashi explains they typically, you know, sneak into the backyard, grab hold of the animal, and toss it over the wall. And their hard landing on the other side perhaps makes it a treifa. I'm not concerned about treifa. Why am I telling why? They're careful to do it in the right way, in a safe way. They wanted to run. They don't want to have to carry it, so they toss it over in a way which it lands safely on its flanks, on its side. When they throw it on masnayim, they throw it on the masnayim. Which on the sides or whatever, and some learn that Musnai means like with a rope, they lower it with a rope, so they do it gently. This way the animals can get up and run before them as they make their getaway. But now let's say they return the animals. They stole them and they brought them back due to fear of being persecuted. Vadai chayshinan. So if they're concerned about the police getting after them, they quickly came back and returned the animals to avoid prosecution. Certainly were concerned, because when they threw it back over the wall, they weren't very careful. That's only if they returned it because of fear of authorities, in which case they're not really going to be particular in how they do it. Aval machmas teshuva, but if they did teshuva, they were Jewish ganavim, so now we assume they did it gently, in a manner which keeps the animal safe. Tshuva malim say the avdu, who the avdu, we assume they did a proper tshuva, and they did it safely. Amar vidam arav. He called Reisha. Suppose a person takes a stick, and whacks the animal over the head, and it's a long stick. Right? The animal's in front of him, facing him, and he whacks him over his back, along the length of his back, over the spinal, you know, root. Hikal Reisha, Vachal Lokav Klabizvach, Snava, and the stick reaches all the way to the back, to the tail. Or he started from the tail all the way to the head, Al Znava, hit it on the tail side, and the stick reached all the way to the head. Vachal Klab Reisha, Keneged Kol Hashedr Kula, over the whole spinal. Ein Choshishim Shem Risuki, I'm not concerned about injury. Because the impact is evenly distributed, there's no damage done. V'yishalom chutra, but if the stick ended, it was a short stick, a palga gaba halfway across the back, then chashinu concerned that perhaps that point came down in a way that cracked the spinal cord. V'yisbe kitri, likewise, if there are these bumps like if it's a branch that has sticking out, Cheshina, I'm concerned about damage. V'machia paske cheshin. Likewise, if he struck the animal along the width, across the back, then we're concerned that it came down in a manner that damaged the animal. Amar Rav Nachman, beis harechem, an animal that was born today, came out of a very narrow, confined area of the beis harechem, the womb. Ein by mishum risuki, we're not concerned about damage to the skeleton. Amar Rav Nachman, I'll bring you a raya. Tanya Maselech, we have a brisa which supports you. That birth itself, despite its traumatic element, the animal makes it out safely, and there's no concern about treifas. Tinek Menin Echad Metamei, we turn to Amar Beis, Metamei Beis Ziva. The halacha is that even a one-day-old child, if he has Ziva, if he has an emission, he's Tamei. That's the halacha, it's not age-related even. Baby, if we say birth itself is traumatic enough to perhaps cause internal damage, why would this child be tummy if he has ziva? Halacha is ikur kan, we can apply to him the pasuk. A ziva is only concerned with psari if it comes out naturally, unforced, untriggered by any sort of trauma. Not a einus that caused it. And here, the actual birth and its accompanying trauma should be considered a catalyst to the ziva and should spear him from being tamei. Apparently, it's not. Well, who says hachem my skin? Perhaps this halacha is only going to yotzei derech doifin. It was taken out from the side by cesarean. It wasn't born in natural manner. And over here, there's no concern of squishing and injury. But otherwise, perhaps a regular birth would present that concern. To Hashem, here comes another raya. Egel shneil be yamtiv, a calf born on yamtiv. We assume, you know, naturally. There's no issue of muktzav. Ashi explains because the mother animal is already ready for shechita as well. Okay, but in any case, hold it. Why are you shechting him? You can't eat him. The actual birth presents an injury concern, a concern of treifach. And Nami here as well was speaking on shechita derech doif, and he was born by cesarean. Tashma comes another raya. Mishav and all agree. She knowed who umuma imai. Speaking about a bachar. It's all shaila, bachar, which presents a blemish, and it happened on Yom Tov, whether you can eat it, whether it's muktzah. But all agree, if it was born, the bachar, the firstborn, was born with a blemish. V'shav v'shem neilad, hu umuma ima, he was born with a blemish. So he came out in the world blemished. Shadam v'namuchan, of course, you can eat him on Yom Tov. He's considered prepared, he's not considered muktzah. Now the question is, once again, you shouldn't be eating it if it might be a treifa. Right? If in fact birth would present that concern, perhaps here as well we can suggest that it was born by cesarean. Well, that wouldn't be a solution in this case. Derech doifin be kaddish? An animal born derech doifin wouldn't be kaddish, wouldn't be considered a bechor to begin with. V'amar b'yechanan, b'yechan teaches us, although when it comes to human birth, cesarean perhaps has a similar halacha to regular birth regarding tumah, but regarding an animal, regarding karbanos, it's not so. Moidahay Rav Shimon, and even Rav Shimon agrees when it comes to karbanos, like a firstborn b'chor, she'enei kaddish, unless he's born naturally, it's not kaddish. Rashi says, ki yivolei, that has to be born naturally. So that's not an option. So back to the question, why is this animal not presenting a trait of concern? Well, you're right, it would. Except that over here, exhibited healthy expressions. My skin was speaking shehifris, agabi karka. Hifris is like parsa, the bottom of the foot. Basically, it tried to stand up. It stuck its foot in the ground and started making an attempt at getting up. Shehifris agabi karka, which, as we're going to see later, is an indication of health and a skeleton properly intact. Okay, here comes another example of a non-injurious fall. The Amar of Nach, Beisamut Bachai, the animal which is felled in anticipation of the Shechita. Okay, so before the Shechita they fell it. Ein bo mishum risuki yivarim, and Rashi says, was speaking, even if it came off a pedestal, a field of Malkim Gavoya. There's no concern. We're not concerned about crushed, you know, infrastructure. Why? We'll get to that in a minute. In fact, there was a story, Awatura, there was this ox, this cow, the Nafal, which was felled in preparation for Shechita, Vishtamakal Negechusei, and they would hear the moan, the sound of his. Nevertheless, Al Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Mati, he went in there and he took the best cut of Mishakal Mishufri Shufri, took the best meat. Apparently considered to be a non-treifa. Amrali Rabban says, based on what? Manolach, how do you get to this conclusion? I mean, the animal was thrown down. I mean, Amar Lahus, he says, look, I have a halach, a quote from Rav, who says it's not an issue. Achama Rav, Rav told us, Tziparnav. Because the way it works is that the animal uses its nails to sort of to latch and to brace himself. Noyitz, he plants his nails into the ground. Hashem agila oritz onto the whatever it is that he's being felled off. So that slows his fall. It braces him until he gets down to the ground. So it's not considered a hard fall, and therefore is considered non-injurious. Okay, so a quick nutshell. We had this halacha in the Mishnah, nafla min agag. Animal falls off the roof, or was thrown off the roof. there's a lachma shmir sinai to consider it a treifa, provided it's right away. Meaning, if you wait meis leis 24 hours to give it that delay, then, as we're going to see in a minute, that eliminates the primary concern of heavy injury, and then all you need to do is do some sort of internal examination, which will be described later in the Gemara, to ensure there's no atrepha issues. In fact, we'll see in a minute that if it actually starts walking on you, then you know he's exhibiting signs of health and skeletal integrity. We have some exceptions to the rule, as follows. If the animal jumped off in a premeditated manner, in an expecting manner, so he knew he was jumping off, and he braced himself, he spaced himself, he paced himself, he anticipated the fall, so you know that he knew it was within his physical abilities, physical capacity to do so safely. We assume it did not cause any injuries. We had a shout regarding the actual birth experience, and we discussed another example of a non-injurious fall, which is by the base of Mitbachayim. Amar b'demara, amda, after the accidental fall, which typically does present a serious question in terms of infrastructural disruption. The animal gets up, he's standing, then you know he's okay. You don't have to wait 24 hours before you do shechita, but bedika vaday baya. That eliminates the 24-hour requirement. You still have to do bedika, as will be described. But next step, halacha, it starts walking on you, you know he's perfectly fine. That eliminates the bedika requirement as well. Whether it stood or even if it walks, bedika is still required. He quotes Rav. When we say standing up, even if he didn't actually stand up, he just sticking out his hand as an attempt to try to stand up. Even though he didn't successfully get up, he didn't get to that point. Just starting, that's considered like standing regarding eliminating the 24-hour wait requirement. Likewise, akra raglu l'halech, if it picked up his foot in order to walk, even though he didn't walk yet, there you go. It's a done deal. You know the animal is perfectly fine. Rav Chisda Amar takes it a step further. Nidna r'lamayt, even if he's just like moving, about to get up. He's preparing to get up. Even though he didn't get up, it qualifies. Vilchasa, the halacha is hechad nafal nagag, but fell off the roof at liyada unexpectedly. Ve'amdav then got up on you, v'lochach without walking, tzricha bedika. Bedika is still required, but you don't have to wait 24 hours before shechita. Ven tzricha meisleis v'mhalcha. But if it starts walking, then you know he's fully healthy. I feel bedika. I'm like tzricha. You don't even need to do bedika. Amar meimar. V'shnei rav dimi. V'nado. How exactly do we conduct this internal examination? Nefula she'amru tzricha bedika. When we say nefula needs a bedika, you have to just check along the stomach area, along the intestines. Amalei mazrutra. No, it's not enough. Hachi amriyam shein rapapa. The following was quoted from rapapa. Tzricha bedika keneged beis halakula. You have to check the whole cavity, everything, the vertebrae, the back. Amalei huna barmar preid Rav Nechem. He asked the question, Rav Ashi. What about the tubes, the simanim, right? The kanan devesh, the simanim mai. Amalei says, no. They have adequate protection. Simon caution hand, they're considered strong and unaffected by the experience. Esa lefila regarding nefila. Amar b'dama Shmuel. Okay, now we shift to a bird that experienced some sort of trauma. So the bird was banged down, hit strongly, I'll give him out on the water. So that presents a similar concern of internal disruption. And what's a sign of health? Kimish is shot. Once you see it swimming, malai kaimasai. It swims an amount which is equivalent to its height. So let's say it's 10 inches high, and it swims for 10 inches. But it's enough to show health. V'loy amar, and it's only good elevi matala malav. He's traveling upstream against the current. So you know he has the proper strength to do so. Aval malamal lamato, if simply floating along with the current downstream, mayu dashpilu, it's the water that's just sweeping him along. It's not a sign of strength. However, if the water is pretty much placid, just pretty much in place, that's naba. So either way, whether he's going upstream or downstream, it's a sign of strength. Vishada tzivi. Now let's say even if he's going downstream, but there's tzivi, little splinters, little piece of wood floating on the water, and he goes beyond and he beats them, he goes faster. Vikadme. Hokadme. Okay, so the fact that he went ahead shows a strength. Okay, let's say he flops down on a glima, on a garment. Fellow's hanging his laundry, and the glima's matiach, outstretched. So it's tied up, and it's presenting a rather rigid surface. Chayshina, that presents a concern if the bird lands on that. The glima matiach, if it wasn't stretched out and tied up rigidly, lechashina, then it's just a flimsy thing, we're not concerned. Oifem oifef, even if it was tied up, but it was doubled over, so that presents some floppiness to it. That mitigates our concerns. Lechashin. Isla. You have a net on which the bird landed. Umakavri kitri. The net has kitri, these knots, which are rough and dangerous for the landing bird. And they're very close to each other. Without enough space for a bird to... enough flat, smooth area for the bird to put his legs in there. Chayshin were concerned about this trauma. And yeah, loy mekavri kitri, if the knots are not so crowded, lechashin, not concerned, because we hope that he landed between the. We assume he landed, on the smooth, non-threatening surface. Kitna, we have flax of it betuni, which are bundled up. Chashina, that presents a concern if a bird lands on that. Dagis on the sides where it's sort of flimsy and loose. Lo lechashin isur yaiso. You have bundles of reeds, chashina, because they're hot. Kitna, you have flax. The daik vanavitz, which was crushed. And combed, so it's nice and fluffy, like chashinon. Daik, if it was crushed, but not combed, so you have the woody material, and the chashinon concerned. David Bizri, suppose they're sort of bundled together. Kivin, they could make kit, we have these knots, chashinon. Daksa, you have the woody material out of the flax, chashinon. That presents a danger if landed upon. Daktakasa, but if they're just a really, thin woody material, just a really thin fibers, lechashim, we're not concerned. Navro, you have the fiber which grows around the bottom of the palm tree, which tends to be rigid and hard. Chayshinon, taktak, timchasa. However, once it's been sliced into strips, that softens it, lechashinon, we're not concerned. Kitma, nehila, you have kitma, which is ash, nehila, which was sifted, and I have clumps. Chayshinon, we're concerned because of the clumps, right? Loi nihila, but it hasn't been sifted, it's just loose ash. Loi chashina, that's not a concern. We turn to the next page. Chela dak, you have just loose sand. Loi chashina, that's not a concern. Avak turacham. Echela gas, if you have the, more of a clumpy sand. Chayshina. Avak turacham, you have the dust on the side of the road, which has been tamped down and clamped down by the passerby. Chashina, because it's hard. Tivna. Straw of Avid Bizga, which is tied into bundles. Chayshina, lo Avid Bizga, it's not tied into bundles, just loose straw. Lo Chayshina. Chiti, kernels of wheat, called minayin, all similar types of kernels which are hard. Chayshina, sa'ari, however, barley, we call the minayin on that type, which tends to be softer. Lo Chayshina, this gives a lo Chayshina, we're not concerned. Some actually agarres Chayshina here as well. What about beans? Due to their slippiness, we're not concerned because the bird just, slid on it. Does not really experience a serious trauma. Kol min kidneys, all types of beans, there's no concern about crushing the animal or the bird. Levam and ruby, except for fenugreek, which seems to be more threatening. Chimtze, what about peas? Aimboy, there's no concern of any crushing taking place. Because of its roundness, it just slides off. Chiftze, a different type of bean, which is not really so round, there's a concern there. They clump together. Okay, what's the bottom line? What's the rule? Kolmidi the mishuk, any material which is slidy and slippery, does not present a danger. But loy mishuk, something which is not slidy and slippery, but there is a concern, if in fact the bird lands on it. Dibuk. What about they had this type of bird trap. Which was comprised of a board with some glue, which they expected the bird to tack on and get glued onto it. So then when the bird attempts to fly, he lifts off a little and then he just plops down due to the board, the weight of the board that pulls him down, then he lands hard. So Dibuk, Rav Ashi Shari says it's okay even though the animal, even though the bird got caught onto it and landed. Amemar Asar, he says it's no good. B'chad Gap, now if just one wing got stuck, he can still use a second free wing to fly a little bit and sort of soften his fall. The Kulam Lepsik all agree the Shari it's okay. Ki Pligi B'tri Gap, the Chag is only by two wings that are caught up. Man, the one says that's Asar Amalek, he says, Hey Chenek, but he expect him to handle himself. Of course, he comes down hard and injures himself. Uman the Shari, that one that permitted, Amalek, he says, you know what, he can still use the upside of his wings connected to his body. He can still sort of get some, it can still buoy him a little bit to handle himself to the point that he can soften his fall. Esher the nekem ikvi the gap, he can still use the ikvi the base of his wings to slow his fall. He could obviously some learn a little differently. Betray gap he become the pligi the usher. Both wings are disabled. All great usher because he can't really handle himself. He pligi b'chad gap. The question is only if one wing was caught up on the shoy, the one that allows. I don't know if he says Efshad the baruch b'chad gap, he can still fly using his available wing. One the one that forbids. He says look, you can't really fly effectively with one wing, given the behind the Matzei Parach, since he can't really fly with one, because it's glued and stuck behind the Matzei Parach, we assume he can't use the other one either properly, and it was a real hard fall. Vilchasa, what's the bottom line? Matzei Gapi Asr, both wings were disabled, it's Asr, but Chadgav is just one wing, it is Shari, it is Matzei. Okay, so here we speak about a bird being struck, being felled on any of these types of materials, and we differentiate between ones that are considered to be threatening, and I was speaking of course that it fell, right? It fell, it was hit, it was thrown down, or it fell, and it was not a proper landing, and it depends on the rigidity, the consistency, the texture of the material, which determines whether or not there's a concern of treifa on the bird. Okay, all the best to you. Natzlacha Rabba.